this time on the Plutopia podcast, the unusual suspects, John Lepkoski, Scoop Sweeney, and Susie Sheeler, attempt to explain everything. We discuss the financial woes of that orange-haired politician, the Biden impeachment hearings, RFK Jr.'s, student loans, the University of Austin, South by Southwest, and much more.
We said that we were going to talk about some stuff tonight, and I don't remember what we were going to talk about.
Whatever has been happening.
Do you?
Well,
everything, we said, huh? Anything and everything.
We would keep it generic, meaning whatever shows up in your brain. And there, you know, I've been following a lot of the news, and I'm just, you know, thrilled to see that certain people out there, he who shall not be named, is having trouble with his finances. It's just a sad story from what I hear. I'm not saddening me, but yeah.
You think, well, I'm going to, there she is. There she is. Queer History. Oh.
Hey,
has joined us.
No, what is that?
Hello, queer.
Oh, you know what?
This it is says from, Queer History, Our Stories.
It sure does. And there is a rename. I'm going to rename it because I signed under a different. There we go. I'm doing a history, working on a history program, gay history. Well, queer. Well, what it was called was Queer History. And so that's what it's about.
There, that makes a lot of sense there.
So, yes, I came into a conversation here about someone with some financial issues, you were saying?
Yeah,
anyone I know?
Can't raise a bond, and people are concerned. Not me, of course, but...
well, you know, that his
they've
all said they get their money from, all their money from Russia, but then you say, okay, so whoever gives him the money, what is he going to owe them?
A whole lot, and that would have some national security implications that I think would cause them even more legal problems. It's like they're going down multiple rabbit holes.
Exactly.
Well, okay, so here, fact-based John L. So the thing is that this guy's got to put a whole lot of money on the table in order to file an appeal. One thing he could do is blow off the appeal, but he doesn't want to do that. But he also doesn't want to cough up all of that money. And his argument is not that he doesn't have the money, but that it is so much money that it would impede his businesses, his many businesses, if he was to put all that money like away for a while he waits for the appeal to happen.
But he's got billions.
Yeah. So he claims.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying, right? So the math doesn't math.
He owes billions.
Yeah, but
probably.
But there is an argument to say that you could be a person with one or more billions of dollars, but much of that could be illiquid. I mean, it could be in. We already know that a lot of his holdings are real estate holdings. So maybe he's worth $1 billion, but mostly through real estate, and getting the cash together means he would, one thing he'd probably have to do is liquidate. He'd have to sell some of those properties.
Well, and the properties you're talking about are not all his. Many of them just have his name on them. But
that's the question, right? What does he actually own, and what does he just have his name on?
Yeah, it's licensed.
You know, I mean,
what he has, he licenses his name to all sorts of places.
That's what it is. He's a brand. He's marketing himself, and he's done a great job up until his pride got him. That's what happens. And he's been able to like deflect it so well that. He has evaded justice for quite some time, and I don't know if he will be able to continue to or not. I kind of feel like he can.
It's interesting that
it's an interesting
his big money bankrolls from various Republican billionaires have kind of gone away, because his campaign chest right now is what, like 45 million.
It's not a lot. And every that they send to the RNC has been promised by Laura Trump that it was going to all go to his legal fees. So.
Well, I mean, she said that as she was being appointed. Whether she can actually achieve that, who knows?
Exactly.
If she does do that, it's politically very difficult for them. I mean, if they start taking all of the money that comes into the RNC and giving it all to Donald, then all of those down ballot candidates are going to be really pissed off.
Yeah,
I
but
mean, Laura is not necessarily a bright bulb, right? She doesn't necessarily understand what the political implications are of this thing that she said. And those people are deluded enough to think that the base will think that's a really great thing, that they're doing everything they can to bail the boss.
yeah.
I don't know, man. It's pretty crazy.
And then he's going to go once he seizes the presidency, he will pardon all of the January 6 people and go after his rivals and put them in jail. I mean, it's the first day he wants to be dictator.
Yeah,
So,
he wants to run the country the
Yeah,
same
but
way he
just for
runs
one
the
day.
RNC.
He's only going to be a dictator for one day and then president for life after that.
Right, because on the first day he's gonna declare that he's
Yeah,
president for life,
potato,
sort of like
potato.
that.
Yeah, I mean,
There you go.
it's the same thing, dictator, president for
Did
life.
you guys hear that Putin won his presidential re-election?
Yeah, there was a squeaker.
I know. I was oh, nail biter on that one.
I love the guy from I forget which one of the congressmen showed up at the hearing yesterday wearing a Putin mask, which I thought was just an elegant piece of political theater.
How much money have these people spent on this fake impeachment thing? I mean, it's like they did it immediately. It was one of the first orders of business after they finally got a House speaker that first time. And I just wonder, so what now?
That's a good question. What now?
What now?
Yeah, their total lack of evidence. Every time they keep saying, "Show us your evidence," and they redirect us in some other direction. Well, oh, look over there, it's Elvis.
Yeah.
They dodge the question.
It's so horrible. And the way they keep calling them the Biden crime family, and it's like Trump has 90, I guess they dropped a few charges, but I don't know if those were part of the indictments or not. I don't really know how that works, but I mean, how do you call someone a Biden crime family? And then you look at the drugs that were going on in the White House when Trump was there. Dear God,
Well, Ronnie,
Xanax and
Dr. Ronnie was apparently dealing it out like he was a poker dealer. It's like, here, take five.
I wonder what he's doing as a senator, because I have a feeling he might have himself a little addiction. Just saying. He got a lot of people hooked on what is that, Ritalin or whatever that stuff is that they give you when you get older for it's not Ritalin anymore. It's some kind of speed for ADHD.
Yeah, maybe it was
Oh,
Hunter
Adderall.
Adderall.
yeah maybe
Here's
it was
it. Adderall.
Hunter S. Thompson's
Well,
Ibogaine, which was his legendary drug.
whoa.
Adderall is actually a name for what it's really called is methamphetamine salts. It's actually definitely speed, and it is very effective against ADHD or with ADHD. People with ADHD can focus much better when they take Adderall. So if you have ADHD, it just kind of makes you normal. But if you don't have ADHD and you take it, it would be like shooting
Donald
speed,
Trump
basically.
Jr. Like date serious evidence.
In fact, Donald Trump Jr., who just published a video of himself looking either coked up or
Adderall.
I mean, your family.
Adderalled up. I was trying to think of a clever way to say that. But yeah,
Adderalled.
I mean, yeah, apparently having used some drug that accelerated his.
Really? It just happened today?
Yeah. I just saw it today. I don't know that it just happened today.
Oh, most of his videos are, he has red eyes and he's yelling and he's just like he's on steroids and Adderall or cocaine.
There you go. This is the same person I'm talking about.
Yeah, he's roid. I don't know what's wrong with him, but I do know. I mean, the assumption is that he's on that kind of thing.
That was the same thing we were saying about President, what's his name? When he was constantly sniffing and playing with his nose, like, yeah.
Well, he was taking a lot of Sudafed. He was taking a ton of Sudafed because it kind of is the same thing. It's got that dethamextrazone or methodextrone or whatever. Because that gets your sinus, that takes care of your sinuses. So you've got this kind of, you know, itchy nose all the time. I think that's what they said it was Sudafed. He's really weird about saying he doesn't take drugs. So I don't know.
Yeah, well, Sudafed is used by folks who like to manufacture meth. That's why you can't just go in and buy, you know, a carton, a case of Sudafed, you know.
No.
You get the idea.
He's wrong about a lot of things too. I mean, which isn't surprising because his father thinks you need an ID to buy milk. You know, they don't live in the real world. They don't know. And I honestly, you know, somebody said the other day, well, if Trump dies, one of his sleazy kids will slide in under there. And first of all, the only one that I can see having the ability to even try would be the one we just saw. Ivanka wants none of it anymore. But I can see Junior getting in there and thinking that he has the love and adoration of the people the way his father did, and he's in for a big awakening. They do not like him. They don't like him. Nobody likes him.
Oh.
Have you ever heard of a Donald?
I hate to hear you say that.
DJ TJ.
What?
Are you a DJ TJ fanboy? I mean, who likes this guy? Nobody. They love his father.
Yeah, he's going to suffer the same fate as RFK Jr.
Who did he finally pick as his running mate? It's a woman, right?
I think it was a sock puppet.
RFK?
RFK. He did make a choice, and I can't remember. I thought
he picked you. Didn't he pick you?
No, because I'm pro-vaccination. I got a mask right here.
Yeah, he probably would just have a sock puppet that he'll put up. This is my vice president.
Well, he was talking about Aaron Rodgers, which I thought would have been great.
Yeah, there's a great sock puppet.
Like Herschel Walker, bring all the football players in. Let's let them run the country. That's a great idea.
Well, I'm actually fond of the idea of running the Rock for president. So RFK Jr. is considering Nicole Shanahan, environmental lawyer.
God. You know, I'm wondering, though, okay, so these take votes away from Trump if they vote for third party, if people vote for third party, which is most likely what my family will do because they just possibly can't bring themselves to vote for the one person who will ensure that we don't go down in flames and fascism. So instead of putting that vote there to make sure of it, they're going to put it over here because they want to shame this guy over here. Right. it doesn't make any sense. This I'm not going to vote. There's never Trumpers, but never Biden at the same time. So does it help Trump or not? Or does it help Biden?
Well, I see him pulling away a few Democratic votes just from people who know the name, Robert F. Kennedy, and they don't think about the junior and the fact the guy's a nutball. And so it will pull away some folks who just aren't paying attention. But yeah, I'm not sure who his his clientele would be for whatever he's selling.
But not so, is it possible that the independent vote or the third party vote could take away enough votes that no one gets to 270?
Well, I mean, who knows? Who knows how the RFK people are going to vote? I suspect that the people who will support him are people who might otherwise have voted for Donald Trump. But I can't be 100% for sure that he's not going to pull some votes away from Biden too.
I mean,
I
yeah.
mean, what can you do? It's actually kind of shitty that we have a two-party system. There should be an
Agreed.
accommodation for more parties. We should ditch the Electoral College. I mean, there's a lot of things that should happen that might make the USA a saner place,
Yeah,
politically.
look at the way a lot of the European governments are formed. They
Yeah.
have multiple parties, and they usually have to do a coalition government where, party A and
Exactly.
party B get together, and they are vaguely compatible, and they form a government. And that sounds a lot more sane than this thing of we're basically like Arkansas. We're inbred. It's like, you're either Democrat or you're Republican. You don't have a choice.
Right. That's true.
So the question that the Republicans are asking right now, an age-old political question, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? And a lot of people think they are
Including Donald Trump.
not. I mean, think they are not. I was going to say, no, there's a lot of people who think that they're in worse shape than they were 4 years ago. And these are people who are feeling some nostalgia for the Trump years and thinking about voting for him because, I mean, I guess they kind of forgot. I don't know. But they're feeling like things have been rough, right? And I'm sorry. I'm recovering from a cold, so I
Oh,
have a bit of a
sorry.
cough. So they think that they think that the economy is not doing well, but it's because their economy is not doing well. And we have to kind of wonder why that is. And I think why that is because we went through a period of inflation and prices just went through the roof and they have not come down. And I see that in my own life. I mean, I was shocked today. I was buying a bottle of olive oil that used to cost $5 and it costs $10 now. I
Yeah.
mean, prices doubling like that, that's stressful.
Yeah, one place
Yeah,
where
it
the
is.
economy is booming is in the stock market. And it didn't boom like that during the Trump years because starting with Biden's administration, it's gone. I think it was like, what,
It's
around,
broken three.
it
It's
was around 19,000 or something. And it's almost to 40,000 now, but over the last 4 years. So, not everyone's involved in the stock market, but that affects a whole lot of the economy. If the stock market tanks, then a lot of other things go down as well. But if it's going up, that's actually helping the economy. And one would hope eventually some of these companies will start dialing back on all the price increases.
I mean, it's always a question of whose economy is getting helped, you know? And right now, the economy is working, but who is it working for?
Well, as a recipient of a of the student loan forgiveness, me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got my student loan forgiven. So, you know,
congratulations. I would have baked you a cake if I knew that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
There you go. There you go.
Pissed off a few people I know, older people who for some
Not
reason.
Really.
Yes. Yes. If you, why shouldn't you have to pay your debt is what I got. And I'm thinking,
well, I paid off my student loan, you know, many, many, many years ago, but it just wasn't that much.
Right.
I suspect your student loan was probably a much bigger hunk of money than mine was because it used to be so much cheaper to go to school.
And yeah, some of it was even free. Like if you lived in Houston, you could go to Rice for free. You know, there were other schools like that around. So, yeah, no, I think it's this jealousy thing is bizarre, though. This whole, if I had to live through the Great Depression, so should you kind of attitude that I don't get. You know?
Yeah, I get a reaction from younger folk when I talk about how much I had to pay for my education at University of North Texas. At that time, it was North Texas State University. And it was a princely sum of $75 a semester. That was my tuition. And it didn't, that didn't include the books. The books were not all that expensive either. They sold used books. So you could get by on not a lot of money then. But now I looked at UNT's tuition is like, well, I don't think I can afford it.
And they made us if you were a freshman and a sophomore at UNT, the first 2 years you had to live on campus in one of their dorms.
So
you can even save money that way.
Yeah.
You know, by holding it like which I finally did the last I ended up living with like 20 other people because oh my God, it was so expensive.
Yeah. And in my era, women were only allowed to live in the dorms. And if they were seen entering the apartment of a male student, they and the male were immediately tossed out of North Texas, you know, and
wow.
Told to never come back. It was very interesting administration they had.
Yeah, it was. I love that school. I love that. I used to. It's since the Flying Tomato burned down, everything is different, and I can't go there.
I loved it just because I could go and watch the 1 o'clock band, which was the jazz program they had that was just legendary, and it created a lot of great jazz groups and jazz artists, and
lot of good music came out of this.
I was a big jazz fan at the time, and that was just the place to be because you could go to school and then go see decent music being played.
Really good music. Yeah, really, really good. I don't know what it's like now, but even when I was there in the 90s, they just had great bands. It was hard to see a bad band because they wouldn't book anybody who didn't meet a certain bar. That's where Edie Brickell got her first break, was an open mic night for the New Bohemians.
Yeah, a lot of artists were passing through North Texas. I think Roy Orbison passed through briefly, and various other folk in rock and roll. And it was just a place that was not like the rest of Texas. It was kind of a small Austin kind of thing back in those days. It was considered a party school, but it was very progressive in its politics. I encountered my first, SDS people at North Texas.
Excellent. Yeah, it was, we used to say it was like there was an acid curtain that you drove through because when you got into Denton, just it was not, it was no longer part of this earth. It was a completely different vibe.
Yeah, it stands out in North Texas, which North Texas is always notoriously conservative.
Right. Again, I don't know what's going on there now. Did you guys hear about this University of Austin that Joe Rogan is opening?
No, Joe Rogan's not opening that.
He's not?
It's other people.
Oh, I thought Rogan was
No.
behind it with Elon Musk and a couple other guys. Who's doing it? Is it
No.
Alex Jones?
No. I can get the name for you. I should have that on the. I mean, I've looked at that before, and I should.
Were they at South by at all, these guys?
I didn't see anybody. It's intellectual dark web people, or at
Yes.
least they used to call it intellectual dark web. And they're kind of, I think they're kind of right wing, but they're also just kind of. It's weirdly difficult to figure out exactly how to categorize them as compared to like very typical right versus left. But they are, they do kind of lean to
So is
the
it like a
right,
technical
and they
school?
worry
Because,
about wokeism, They say, well, this isn't going to be a woke university.
well, but it's not a
Okay,
university.
let me see. I can tell
They're
you here,
not.
though.
They can't possibly be accredited.
Okay, the president, the guy who's actually put this together, the president is Pano Canellos. His name is Pano Canellos.
Okay.
And
What is his claim to fame?
the list of founders is Lawrence Summers, Ayaan Hirsi Ali, Kathleen Stock, Andrew Sullivan, Peter Bogosian, Nadine Strossen, and Arthur C. Brooks. And the only
Wow.
one in that list I know is Andrew Sullivan. And Andrew is, he's a pretty right-wing guy. He's a gay right-wing guy, actually.
Oh, fuck me. So, okay. So, university is not, it doesn't, you can call yourself a university and not actually be an accredited university. And
Well, they're trying to become accredited, though.
but with
They're actually
what?
working on
Like, are they gonna teach? Are they gonna fulfill all of a university's, they've got to have
a liberal arts university.
a conservative liberal arts. That's really what we need. I smell a Trump University 2.0 coming on, really.
They're
I mean,
calling.
it's not, it's at this point, it's not a real university. I mean, you couldn't go there and get federal financial aid, for instance.
No,
So
it's a
it's just
technical
something that they're
school.
working on.
It's just a money suck for conservatives who don't want Junior to get woke, so they
It sounds like
cough up the
Oh, I don't
money and send
know.
him
I'm not
off.
sure about that either. I don't think of these intellectual dark web types as being exactly like your typical conservative, like your right-wing Nazi crazies, but they are. I mean, they're it's just a weird other thing. Okay, let me show you. Hold on a minute. Give me just one sec so I can share my screen again. It's for people who dare to think. The University of Austin is dedicated to the fearless pursuit of truth.
Sound like they're hunting truth with
Here's
a
a nice
rifle.
picture of Austin, and there's a little video here if you
No, I'm all right,
might want to
but
play
let's see
it.
what the oh, what's
Okay,
the
so here's their undergraduate program here.
Okay.
So we'll look at their undergraduate curriculum. Immerse students in a vibrant community that emphasizes academic rigor, civil discourse, and intellectual risk-taking. Now, this gets to the thing where conservatives say that the people on the left are trying to shut them down and not allow them to express their ideas. So here is a place where you can go and express your ideas, right? Powered by the great productive tensions of human life, reason and revelation, tradition and innovation, freedom and necessity, the majesty and humility of man. Notice man, not woman.
They're not
We
going to.
believe the most fruitful innovations spring from a thoughtful engagement with tradition, and that how we live is the ultimate measure of what we know, et cetera, et cetera.
They got
So there you
accredited.
go.
They got accredited here in Texas.
So So this first thing is intellectual foundations. Well, of course, they're accredited in Texas. Intellectual Foundations Program, and then Centers of Inquiry and Junior Fellowship, and then something called Polaris Project, which is, there you go, like the North Star by which seafarers have navigated for millennia. Our four-year Polaris Project will orient students' educational journeys through college and beyond.
Okay,
then here's the faculty down here. If you want to see the faculty, you notice...
They are not accredited. They are not accredited. It says that they are in the midst of trying to be accredited.
They're trying to get accredited. So, they have a fairly legitimate looking faculty here, you know.
They got a little red hat here.
I mean, they...
Oh, look at the woman.
They're putting something...
What is wrong with these MAGA women? The one over right there. Why does she look like she's
her?
In a... Yes.
She's not necessarily a MAGA woman. We don't know that.
She looks like she's going to... I don't know. They all look like that. Well, she doesn't.
Yeah, and she doesn't either. I mean...
Look at that beard.
Guy, the beard?
Yeah.
There you go, man. Father Maximus Constans.
Father ZZ Top.
Professor of the Humanities.
Oh, God.
No, I mean, there may actually be some legitimacy to this. I'm not completely dismissing it myself. I mean, I've had a lot of issues with the kind of ecosystem that this has emerged from. The Barry Weiss world, for instance. Barry Weiss was one of the first promoters of this thing. I think she was the one who actually announced that this university was forming. But, you know, there's smart people, there are smart people involved, and they don't all necessarily have bad ideas, or not all their ideas are bad, but they're not aligned with the left very much. They do tend to definitely swing to the right, but I'm not sure exactly what that even means. I mean, I'm not sure whether we're like talking about a cultural right versus left, or an economic right versus left, or whatever. The thing is that if they're really about inquiry, then they shouldn't consider any ideas as foreign. You know, they should be willing to listen to ideas from the left as well as from the right. And if their issue is that they think that the left has suppressed them in some way, one thing is I would point out that the left isn't out burning books.
Yep.
As far as I know, I don't see that happening. But also, I say, if you feel that the left has suppressed you, okay, but don't suppress the left. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't care. I mean, I don't see myself as being a left-wing or a right-wing person, you know. I'm kind of like, I don't like to engage in a system of labels like that. But there are a lot of weird beliefs that people have right now. And the weirdest and most dangerous tend to be percolating over on the right side of the spectrum. And that just scares the hell out of me. So even though I like to try to feel more independent about my political thinking, I know where the danger is right now, and it's not on the left.
Yeah.
I'm sure the left could have dangerous elements too. I mean, there were people when I was, in college, for instance, there were people who were saying, like, smash the state. They were talking about doing the same kind of stuff we're talking about now, do away with the government and all that stuff, anarchy, craziness. And that was coming from the left. It's just moved to the right. I mean, it's odd to me in a way that I hear the same things coming from today's right that I heard from left at the time.
But you didn't see any leftists shooting people in a school or at a gay club, or that's, you know, that there is a
it's true.
Yeah, I saw a lot of the anarchy.
Well, there were leftists that were planting bombs back then. The SDS, etc.
Okay, no,
I mean, there were bombings and shit.
Not SDS,
but there wasn't anything like the Murrah building, you know.
Right, and that wasn't SDS. That was the Weather Underground.
Yeah, the whole anarchy.
I'm sorry, you're right.
I saw it come through, you know, in the news, basically, because I was plugged into the the new left, and there was only a certain number of folks who were really, you know, dangerous folks that were, you know, literally wanting to go out and smash the state and shoot things up and drop bombs. But that was, you know, a small number compared to the folks who just wanted some political change and wanted to have their rights defended and reinforced. And that was, you know, the basic, you know, movement. And the, you know, the anarchy thing that came out again during the punk era. You know, everybody wanted to be a punk anarchist, and it's like,
Greg, but the punks were really gentle souls. You know, they weren't really
well. It's the same thing.
Liked to look dangerous, but they were really, you know, they weren't.
Yeah.
But the thing is that it's kind of like this thing that's happening on the right is a lot like the thing that was happening on the left back then. Yeah. It wasn't really the left that was doing it. It's not really. I mean, I don't think these like Proud Boys, et cetera, are conservatives. You know, I don't think Trump is a conservative. I don't think they're that kind of right. They just want to burn things down. Look at Steve Bannon. He's always talking about tearing everything down. They just want to tear shit down.
He's an anarchist.
It's crazy.
The rest of them
are. Trump is really an opportunist. You know, Trump just is a grifter.
Yeah,
all he wants is to feed his pockets, you know.
Yeah, he will, you know, spout off about almost anything that he thinks will get him money or attention. And he found out that you know, racist dog whistles and fascist dog whistles work for his followers. So he's all in for the whole fascism thing until he changes his mind and goes some other direction.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't know. I don't think it's money that he's after. I really don't think he's ever cared about money. It's just that he knows that powerful people generally have money. It's all about power for him. And that's, I mean, the two are not the same, right? Because you may have money and be powerful, or you... Okay, let's take, for example, you get pulled over by a cop, right? You're a black man who is the CEO of a bank. But when, you know, the cop pulls him over and walks over to them, he's making, what, $60,000 a year or something. But who's got the power in that situation? It doesn't matter how much money that guy has in the car. You know, that cop has a gun. So I think that power is way more important to Trump than money, because he's lived on the facade of money. He's never really had. I mean, he had it for a minute and then he blew it all. Bankruptcy. How many times?
Well, I don't know. I don't think that's true. I think he has lived like a very wealthy person.
Yes, but
he's leveraged. He's heavily leveraged all the time, but he's actually living like a wealthy person, and
so do powerful.
You know, and
that's my point. He bullies people into treating him a certain way,
yeah.
And he makes them believe that he has money.
Yeah, he's living off of OPM, other people's money, and
right.
He's, you know, gotten in trouble because of some of those activities.
Yeah,
you know, where he's, you know, had people contribute to his various projects, and they got screwed, and he didn't.
Yeah,
you know, I'm sorry I missed it. South by Southwest with Stephanie Clifford, aka Stormy Daniels.
I know.
She was there. I was going to talk about South by Southwest tonight. I could, you know, because I saw a lot of very interesting things there. I saw people who were growing mastodons,
Their own server.
I saw
actual, like, old, like, cloning an actual.
Well, that was Ben Lamb of Colossal. That's the company that is actually they're referred to as de-extinction. You know, that manipulating DNA. What it is they have this ancient mastodon DNA, and it's not perfect, but like it's enough that they feel that they can combine it with elephant DNA and create something very much like a mastodon, the actual mastodons. And the reason they want to do that is that they think that if they can breed a population of mastodons, that will have an impact on climate change. Because the mastodons, I don't completely understand what it is. I think it has something to do with the way the mastodons interact with the environment, that the mastodons in effect engineer the environment through their activities, and it becomes fewer trees and more like ground cover, and the grass tends to be cooler than the trees or whatever. So that's part of it. But the other thing is that we have a number of animals that are in danger of extinction. And one thing that they're doing is they're capturing and storing DNA.
Wow.
So there's that. And they talk about rewilding, and they talk about that, you know, obviously Jurassic Park comes up and they say, well, we can't really create dinosaurs, but we think we can create something very much like a mastodon.
Well, I can see that's one thing. The mastodon might replace the cattle, which is a big impact on our environment. Cow flatulence is a big polluter. Yeah, and maybe mastodon flatulence is. Smells like
yeah, mastodons fart too. I'm sure.
We could have mastodon burgers.
Cows generally don't pass gas. It's the feed that they eat that makes them do that. So it really is an us thing. If we just let them eat what they're supposed to eat, then they don't have a natural gas passing thing. They don't really pass gas, and when they do, it's not. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I get gassy when I eat hay too.
Yeah, it makes me kind of, yeah. No, it's the feed. It's the special feed that they get. I don't know. But
so
the Jurassic Park thing, I just have a question, and let me see what your minds think of this. So a mosquito cannot pass the HIV virus, right? It can't do it.
I thought it could.
Doesn't do it.
They can pass other viruses. Why can't they pass HIV?
I don't know. Have you ever heard of anyone getting it from a mosquito?
I can't say that I have, but I
know some people who claim they got it from a toilet seat, and we know what that's
right. Right. Well,
blame the toilet seat.
There is no evidence that mosquitoes can transmit HIV from the NIH. So, my question, therefore, becomes:
oh well, they're good. Here's something that will. I found something online that will explain why it says that. And it has to do with the way HIV replicates, I think.
Hold on. Okay, so my question is, because I think you're about to tell us how it happens, but in that, why can't we recreate whatever it is so that we don't pass it on anymore? I mean, there should be a way. What is the machinations that make it stop and non-transmissible anymore? And why haven't we been doing
this? It says here, HIV is actually not very easily transmittable. You have to transmit a large amount of the virus for somebody to actually get HIV.
So we had a giant mosquito.
So even if some HIV was in a mosquito's body when it bit you, there wouldn't be enough there to make you sick.
So
it has to do with how much is transmitted. And the thing is that people who are having persistent sex or persistent use of needles or whatever, they could be getting much higher viral load than they would get from a mosquito bite.
This one says it would take,
so there you are,
a million mosquitoes that fed on a person with AIDS, then continue feeding on a susceptible person to get one transmission. That's a lot. I thought it was just some sort of like mechanical thing in the body that just shut that down. That would have been so cool.
I don't know.
But we have PrEP.
Yeah. So, well, let me mention also that I went to multiple AI panels.
Okay.
At South by Southwest. Saw a bunch of movies. Saw especially a great film. I have there's a guy that I know, Friedrich Moser, who brought his film this year to South by Southwest called How to Build a Truth Engine. And it is really about how disinformation works.
Wow.
And quite a bit of it is, the initial parts of it are talking about how the brain works to process information and kind of how disinformation works with those processes. And then he gets to, you know, things about, especially about people who are trying to find and convey the truth of a situation, like reporting. I showed the New York Times visual reporters that were reporting specifically on Ukraine, that sort of thing. Anyway, that was pretty great. And I met with Fritz afterwards, and one of the guys with him was one of the people featured in the film, a guy named Vani Roy Chowdhury, who he's like a professor who has built something called StoryMiner that they use to do an analysis on through the internet of stories that are popping up and emerging and showing how they aggregate and that sort of thing. Wow. So that was pretty interesting. And then these AI sessions, they're talking about by 2029, you'll have computers that are as smart as smart humans or as smart as the human brain. I don't know. I mean, they seem to know what they're talking about. I don't know whether that's really true or correct. What I kept thinking when I heard all of this talk about AI was, how are they going to power these things? I mean, I've already been hearing a lot about how the LLM AI modules that exist now, things like ChatGPT and Gemini and the various other, like Claude is another one. So they're building these language learning modules, and they suck a lot of energy in order to do what they do. So it's sort of like, we all know that Bitcoin miners also suck a lot of energy. So the thing is that there are things that you could envision doing and that, you know, you could imagine. So for instance, you can imagine a robot who is a humanoid robot that's as smart as a human, that's autonomous and walking around. But how are you going to get a powerful enough battery for that guy to walk more than 3 feet, you know? So I have a lot of questions and issues about that. Ray Kurzweil was there, and I saw his session, and he's still just kind of talking about the stuff he's always been talking about. The singularity is coming. I think his new book is called The Singularity Is Still Coming or something like that.
Oh, great.
So what is the singularity? He said, well, we started calling it the singularity because we were thinking about, like, in black holes are referred to as singularities, and you don't really know what's in there because it's a black hole, right? And he says, well, we don't really know what the singularity is gonna be. Now, I don't really think, he says the singularity basically is called that because we don't really know what it is or what it's gonna be. The other definition that you hear is that it's when we reach the singularity, we've reached a time where tech growth has become uncontrollable and irreversible. And that's not what he was saying, but I think that's what I typically think it is. there were some robotics people there talking. What, you know, we had some robotics people from the University of Oregon on our podcast at one time, and they were talking about particularly trying to teach a robot just to grasp with the robotic hand and how incredibly difficult that is. And this was coming up here too, is talking about, well, in some ways it makes sense to build humanoid robots because you want them to operate in an environment that's built for humans so they can move the way humans move in that environment. So there's some rationale for making humanoid robots. I always thought there kind of wasn't much myself, but I mean, build robots that are built to do what you want them to do and have them more targeted in what they do. But we're talking about now about artificial general intelligence and general operations of robots and AIs. So there's this, I mean, I think they've always kind of thought in terms of wanting to build a humanoid robot, but it's hard. It's hard to, you have what they call actuators that, you know, control the movement of the robot, and to replicate muscle behavior with those is very difficult. Anyway, so I went through a bunch of stuff like that. I saw some really good movies. Probably the best movie that we saw was called Sing Sing, and it had Coleman Domingo in it. It was about a theater group within a prison, and it was a true story. And what they showed is that they radically reduce the recidivism of prisoners by getting them engaged with the arts, specifically through this theater group. And this, the actual movie was just a kind of dramatization of kind of what went on with that group at a period in time.
So our prisons are going woke.
Yeah, there you go. Woke prisons.
Yeah, we need more of that.
We're going to stop the recidivism by opening them up to literature and plays and music and art. But then they don't, then that's woke. They don't, I don't even think
they're. There was a character in there who was a really hard-headed character and who, through his engagement with drama, opened up to be, you know, kind of like, all the shit that was bottled up inside of him, he kind of like was able to release and was kind of open up to other people and quit exploiting people and start being, you know, more of a genuine human being and that sort of thing. And that was a real guy. And the actor who played the part was the actual guy.
Oh, wow.
You know, most of the guys in the movie were guys who had been in this, they had been in prison and they had been part of this prison theater group, so of course they had learned how to act, so they acted in this film.
That's cool. That's cool.
Powerful stuff. It's called Sing Sing is the name of the movie. And what else did we see? We stood in line for 2.5 hours to see The Fall Guy, and we still didn't get in. So I still haven't seen Fall Guy.
I think you were the Fall Guy. You went for that one.
I was the Fall Guy.
Good, yeah. For 2.5 hours. On the street?
We did.
Yeah, after 15.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very popular movie. It was a very popular movie.
Actually, is it based on the Bionic Man guy who played the Fall Guy?
You know, I have heard that it was, but I don't think it really exactly was. It seems to be a fairly new and fresh thing.
So it's not the same.
Maybe it was inspired by it. Maybe you could say it was inspired by it. We saw another one called Sasquatch Sunset that starred Jesse Eisenberg and Riley Keough as Sasquatches. So they were like totally inside of these suits, you know?
Wow.
And it was really quite good. And it was not, we thought that it was going to be some kind of comedy or something, but it was actually a very, I don't know quite how to describe it. It's not a comedy though. It's, It's got some funny parts in it, but it's not a comedy.
The Trials and Tribulations of Modern Day Sasquatch.
They don't speak a word of English in it. I mean, it's all just grunts and groans, you know.
See, now I can't watch. Now I can't watch it. I was.
That's
have
pretty
you
good.
Seen the Poor Things with Emma Stone?
Which?
It's called Poor Things.
Poor Things. Yeah.
One. I couldn't watch it.
Oh, Poor Things. Yeah. We watched it a second time when Bruce and Yasmina were here. Well, I thought Yasmina needed to see it, so we put it on. It's great. What was your problem with it?
She's one of my favorite actresses, but I just kept thinking of Nell, Tay in the Wind, and you know, Nell. Remember Nell? That movie with Jodie Foster and Nail and
she, oh yeah, yeah, Nail, I know what you're talking about.
Hey, Chick-a-Pay.
No, this is real different. You really need to watch this whole thing, Susie. You didn't really get to the. I mean, you would appreciate it if you saw the whole thing.
All right, I'll try.
And you can see it. You can watch it on Hulu now. It's.
I love her. I love her. I just kept thinking, oh God, why?
It's kind of an amazing performance. I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like it. And the authority of that performance is just, it's very impressive. I mean, she deserved those awards that she got.
She's a very good actress. I like her very much.
Yeah.
And she's best friends with Taylor Swift. So, you know.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. That's a win-win right there. So what's gonna?
You know, there were a lot of. So we were at South by. There's all kinds of like celebrities running around and all that. We didn't really try to see all the sexiest stuff, though. We just kind of followed our noses to the stuff that we thought would be good. I only went to one musical performance, and it was by a woman of Japanese descent who's actually British from London. Her name is Hinako Omori, and she plays electronic music that's very kind of lush and beautiful. And she was the one musical, of all the musical performances, she was the one that I recognized because I had heard her music before. And she was quite good. She was over like the Empire Control Room, you know?
Very cool.
Well, so wandered over there and watched it.
We're on our final 60 okay. seconds here, and
South by's over this weekend, right?
Time flies.
Sunday's the last day of South by, right?
No, it's already over. It was over last weekend.
Oh, okay.
Last Saturday was the last day.
So okay. It's safe to go out, Susie. You can leave.
Well, Congress, there may be a rot rally. I don't know.
What kind of a rally? Who are we rallying for or against?
The rot rally. Everything rot.
Riders.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we've still got the rodeo going. I get all the rodeo traffic through our neighborhood. Everyone's going to the rodeo.
Damn, I missed the rodeo. I can't believe I missed the rodeo.
From Amazon, and they said that I could pick it up at the rodeo if I needed it right now.
Pick it up at the rodeo.
That was an option for me as I was trying to see click the delivery.
Yike. What do they have?
We ran out of time. What am I? Okay, I apologize. I didn't do what I'm supposed to do, which is this. This shows that we're out of time.
There we are. There you are. And that was coughing. A lot of fun, folks.
Was. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
See you next week.
Everyone be safe. You can follow the Plutopia News Network at plutopia.io. On Facebook, go to @PlutopiaNews. On Twitter, it's @Plutopia. This is the Plutopia News Network, 20 minutes into the future.